to do that until a few minutes before I got up and thank you for sharing your heart. I want you to turn with me for a few thoughts for the message today to Joshua chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3 is the account of the children of Israel, now ready to move into the land of Canaan. And they have an obstacle before them, and that is the Jordan River. I'd like to draw just a few thoughts from this chapter, and maybe some from chapter 4. The burden of the message is to encourage us to exercise faith and trust in God throughout the unknowns of the coming year. Exercise faith and trust in God throughout the unknowns of the coming year. And as we face another year, as we look back on the past year, God has a plan for each of our lives. All we can see, as I mentioned before, is the past and the present. God knows the future. And as I think about that, and as I rest in God and understand that to God, He knows the whole picture. He knows everything. He can see it all. I can just see what has happened in the present. But God knows it all, and we rest in Him. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end. Through the thoughts of the messenger, the message of the Lord to the children of Israel in a time of captivity, when they were in bondage and they were in Babylon, and this message came to them from the Lord. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end. Sometimes in losing a loved one, those thoughts fall on deaf ears. And we think of losing a loved one, and how can God be thinking thoughts of peace and not evil? And we grapple with that. It just doesn't seem to make sense. But remember, God sees the big picture. Psalm 8 and verse 4. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? What is man? Who are we? That this high and holy God, lofty, holy, the one who created the universe, can be here in our midst of chapel, and can be at Winchester, and can be at Elm Street, and can be at Honduras, and can be everywhere. This great God, yet He is concerned about you and me and our lives. And how our journey. Joshua chapter 3. I'm going to read verses 1 to 17. And I've taken the title. The title of the sermon is That Ye May Know the Way. That Ye May Know the Way. It comes from verse 4. These thoughts impressed me. Starting in the middle of verse 4 there. That ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. I'd like to look at some thoughts related to that. Reading of verse 1. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the hosts, and they commanded the people, saying, When ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. And Joshua said unto the people, Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, Take up the ark of the covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Hivites, and the Perizzites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now therefore, take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overflowed all his banks at the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city of Adam, that is beside Zaretan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed, and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Very interesting account. I'd like to move now to chapter 4 and verse 5. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? That ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. You know, this story really happened. It really happened. So today, I ponder the questions, that ye may know the way. For ye have not passed this way heretofore. Loved ones, as we look into the new year, we have not passed this way heretofore. That year, the year ahead. As I look back over my life in the past year, and I see how God has led our family, but you know, back then in January, we didn't know how he's going to lead. And there's a certain amount of anxiety and trepidation and worry that goes along with processing the future. I'd like to notice 5 points. That ye may know the way. 5 points from this story. Number one is this. Follow God with a single focus. Follow God with a single focus. Verse 3, and they commanded the people, saying, when ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. that ye may know the way. I say that as people of God, throughout the coming year, we must endeavor to follow God with a single focus, to rest our attention on Him, to rest our attention on the ark. Have God's presence with us, that ye may know the way. Stand still. Be still and know that I am God. Rest in His presence. Keep our focus on Him. Peter and the waves, we could talk about that. To keep a single focus means to first of all live in the presence of God. Live His presence within us. To covet His presence and relationship. It means to be subject to His authority and His leading. James chapter 1 and verse 8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Today there's so many distractions. So many distractions that would call us to beckoning our attention. Keep a singular focus, a single focus on God. In my own personal life, there's the drive for material ease and prosperity. There's that drive to, well, if I just had a little bit more, then I could be at rest. You know, that feeling of the workings of the flesh. A single focus. Am I intoxicated with the things of the world? Do I have impaired vision? You know, impaired vision is intoxication. Am I crazed after something other than God? Is my focus on Him? Am I watching? Am I watching God? And am I living for Him? When the ark began moving, the Israelites were to move and follow it. We must be alert to the movings of God and advance at His leading. Number two, be patient and allow God to lead. Be patient and allow God to lead. Talking about that ye may know the way. In verse 4, I'm not sure exactly why God gave the instruction to leave 2,000 cubits by measure between them and the ark. Perhaps it had to do with how reverent and or the reverence and holiness that He wanted them to have for Him, that no one would come near to the ark and be struck down. Perhaps it was to allow room so they could see the ark. But I liken this to patience and allowing God to lead. You know, this morning, if I had a rosebud up here that was not in full bloom, if I was to try to, by my hands, bring that rosebud into full blossom, I would destroy it. I would destroy it. If I was to help a butterfly emerge from its cocoon, I would kill it. Be patient and allow God to lead. Young people, be patient and allow God to lead. Keeping a singular focus on God. Middle-aged, older people, young families in the midst of the struggle of raising children, be patient and allow God to lead. It doesn't mean being lazy and not being responsible. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about patience. Times of patient waiting are not stagnant times. They are opportunities for us to grow and mature in our trust and faith in God. I'm speaking to myself, times of patient waiting, number three. This might be closely related to one of the other points, but keep your relationship with God current. Verse 5, and Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Keep your relationship with God current. I want to remind you of what God told, or what Daniel told the king. When the king came and looked into the den where Daniel was sitting with the lions, Daniel told the king, he said, God sent his angel to shut the lions' mouths because innocence was found in me. It's a challenge to me. Would there be enough of innocence? Would there be innocence in me if I was thrown into the den of lions like Daniel was, that God would say, you know what? He's an innocent man. I'm going to save him. Or is my heart impure and dirty? The children of Israel were called to sanctify themselves. To sanctify means to consecrate, to make holy, to purify and cleanse. It was Friday. I was repairing something at home and was putting a board on the side of to hang up our broom handles and things. It was in the drywall before the fasteners were, and it had pulled out, so I decided to make something more permanent. Something that's gonna stay better. And the jailer painted the piece of wood black, and I was not quite as patient as I should have been. I thought the wood's probably dry enough. And it was pretty dry, but at the bottom piece there, it was just a little tacky yet. Got some black paint on my thumb, and just trying to wash that off. And well, I soon found out that, you're trying to fasten a white piece, plastic piece, with a black painted thumb, you get black paint at different places. And it's amazing where your thumb touches. Well, if our heart is impure, it's amazing. I shouldn't say amazing. If our heart is impure, that impurity touches a lot of different things. It affects life. I say keep your relationship with God current in the coming year. Deal with sin in your life, if there is sin. But it is better to deal with temptation and to be victorious. Colossians 3:1-2, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. Set your affection that ye may know the way. Number four, trust God's word, even though the path ahead may seem unclear. Trust God's word, even though the path ahead may seem unclear, or trust God's leading. You could say it that way. I'm talking about relating to aspects of change that might affect us because of our commitment to God. That's one side of it. Or perhaps just simply the change or the challenge that it is simply to live faithful in our present situation. Sometimes the way is unclear. Here is the big multitude of the children of Israel following the ark. the priests carrying the ark, and they're coming to the water, and God says, and I don't know what Jordan looked like at that time. Maybe it was a flooding, rushing torrent. I'm not sure. But God says, touch your feet in the water, and I will part the water. Touch your feet in the water. I don't know what that speaks to you. But there are some things that come to my mind. Situations that you would rather have just simply go away. Why must I walk through this door? I can't walk through this door. It's too big. But yet God says, and that our commitment to God compels us that we must go through the door. We want so much for God to make everything clear, to answer all the questions, to understand the future. We want to know. But God says, touch your feet in the water, and I will part them. Trust God's word, even though the path ahead may seem unclear. And you know, sometimes God leads in a way different from what we desire. But we trust him. It is God who parts the water. We must remember that. It is God who parts the water. We need to be willing to step in. I'm reminded of David when he met Goliath and he came into the army and he heard the Philistine. He heard Goliath speaking out against the armies of God, and it stirred in David a desire to, is there not a cause? And Saul says to him, look, in my own words, you're no match for Goliath. You're no match for him. David says, you know what, Saul? I was tending sheep one day, and there was a lion that came up to him, and I killed the lion. And there was a bear that came up, and I killed the bear. I can handle Goliath, too, with God's help. Trust God, even though the way may seem unclear. I think of David. I think of Abraham. I think of Isaac. The patriarchs of old who followed God's leading. No, not to be reckless. That's not what I'm talking about. I want to be understood. But follow God. Number 5. Diligently teach the rising generation the wonderful works of God. Chapter 4, verses 5 to 8. We read that. Parents who teach their children the whys of their practice help their children to appreciate the value of the practice. Brother Jesse shared his heart, and I share that same burden in my own heart. I see a need in my own life to be a better dad, to be a better example, to be a better worship leader to my wife and family. We need to be able to point to memorials in our lives that inspire us to go on. Memorials refresh our memory and plant our feet. Well, in conclusion, a new year lies before us. God knows. He knows it all from beginning to end. Follow God with a single focus. Be patient and allow God to lead. Keep your relationship with God current. Trust his word, even though the path seems unclear, and diligently teach the rising generation the wonderful works of God. There was a song that had come to me, and I wrote some of the words. I enjoyed this song. I just have a few of the words. With my eyes fixed on Jesus, I can face another day. With my hand in my Savior's, I don't need to go astray. With my heart simply trusting, there are answers when I pray. In the shelter of his arm, I want to stay. Let us kneel to pray.